you'll notice that for each of the scripture readings, there is a short description, a summary of the various scriptures. And the scriptures are structured by promises and fulfillment. Be thinking about that as you hear the Word of God preached and the Word of God read. John, why don't you come up? The Word of God from Isaiah chapter 9 and Luke 2. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And in the same region, there were shepherds, out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. All of the wrong people are invited to Jesus' birth. Right? I mean, he's the king of Israel. He's the king over all of creation. He's God in the flesh. He has all the wealth and authority in the world at his disposal, even as an infant. Yet who shows up? Shepherds. What we just read. The poorest of the poor. Undignified workers. Who shows up? Men from the east. In other words, Gentiles. Not Jewish people, not Israelites, Gentiles. People of the wrong race, and maybe even of the wrong religion. He's born king of the Jews, yet King Herod, who was the king of the Jews by name, sought to end his life rather than to come down and worship him. This is all backwards. I mean, this would be as if you are giving birth to your firstborn and the wrong family shows up at the hospital, right? It'd be as if your last name is Johnson, you give birth to your first child, and the Smiths show up. It doesn't make any sense. It's all backwards. It's all wrong. These are the wrong people. Yet this is the story of our Lord's birth. This is what brings us here today. But what if these aren't the wrong people? What if instead these are the exact people that we should expect, because they've been there since the beginning. Their presence here has been promised since the beginning. Follow me today as we trace the story of Scripture from beginning to end, because I think these unexpected guests, these wrong people, have something to say to us today. So at the beginning, in Genesis 2, I told you, we're going through the whole story. Genesis 2, we're told that there was a river that flowed out of the Garden of Eden and split off into four rivers to water and to give life to the rest of the world. And so Adam was reposed in the garden as king, and as we know, he was commanded, be fruitful and multiply. And so the image is that God's kingdom, beginning with Adam, beginning in Eden, in the garden, would spread and cover the whole world. And there's not supposed to be any wrong people in this image, because Eden is supposed to cover the whole world with blessing. God's kingdom, beginning with Adam, was supposed to cover the whole world and bring everybody in. But as we know, Adam failed in his sin, and us with him. And he was sent away into exile, away from communion with God. But God promised a restoration would come. And so God decided to create a new kingdom out of this exile. And eventually, as we know, we get to Abraham. And he says to Abraham, through you, I'm going to bless the entire world. He says this in Genesis 12. Very familiar passage. And so God begins this new kingdom. This new kingdom in Israel, specifically in the city of Jerusalem. And this is perfectly suited, if you know, perfectly suited to bring God's glory to the world. Because if you know where Israel is, to the north, there's nothing but sea. To the south, there's nothing but desert. Every nation, all the wrong people, every Gentile nation had to go through Israel to communicate and trade with one another. And so it was perfectly suited to bring God's glory to the world, because the nations would come to Israel, see the true God, and be drawn in. But did that happen? No, as we know, like Adam, Israel failed as well in their sin. And just like Adam, they too were sent away into exile, away from communion with God. And so we see this pattern. Promise, failure, promise, failure. But then Isaiah comes along. And he tells us the story will turn. He says, Israel, your exile has made you poor, destitute, and forsaken. But someone is coming. Someone is going to come to bring good news to the poor and to draw people from all over the world to himself. All of the wrong people. Someone's going to come who will make all the wrong people the right people. Someone will come to be a light to the world and bring hope to the poor. Someone is coming, a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. He will somehow atone for our sin under God's wrath and restore God's people out of exile and bring all of the wrong people in. How can this be? I mean, these promises should absolutely blow you away. How can one person make all these promises come true? How will God's people be brought out of exile? How will this kingdom finally be realized? How will the wrong people be made right? Well, what do we see at Jesus' birth? The failures in our story finally turn. At the beginning, remember, God promised hope to the poor, salvation to the world, even to the quote-unquote wrong people. And who are the first to see and worship Christ? The poor and Gentiles. The needy and foreigners, not the right people. This is the king of the world, so you'd expect the wealthy. This is the king of Israel, you'd expect Israelites. No, you get the wrong people. You get the poor and you get foreigners and Gentiles. These people, though, are the beginning of the fulfillment of all that God has promised since the beginning. These wrong guests are actually the right ones because they've been invited since the beginning. The poor worship this wonderful counselor, this mighty God, this everlasting Father, this Prince. The poor are invited to worship a Prince. And Gentiles bring gifts to the King of Israel. How backwards, how unexpected, how wrong. Augustine brings this out beautifully. He writes, man's maker was made man, that he, the ruler of the stars, might nurse at his mother's breasts, that the bread might hunger, that the fountain himself might thirst, the light sleep, the way be tired on its journey, that the truth himself might be accused of false witness, the teacher be beaten with whips, the foundation suspended on wood, that strength himself might grow weak, that the healer might be wounded, that life himself die. Christmas turns the entire world upside down. The unexpected becomes expected. The wrong becomes right. See yourself in these guests, dear friends, because we are the wrong people. We're not supposed to be here. Let me show you what I mean. In Revelation 21, which we'll read soon, at the resurrection, at the end, when heaven and earth finally unite, when all will finally be made right, when justice will finally be served, when our sin is gone, a new garden will be planted, a new Jerusalem will come, and Jesus will finally be crowned Lord over all things, as he rightfully is. And guess who shows up? The poor and the foreign kings. The same people who are at his birth. The wrong people. The poor, no longer downtrodden and oppressed and silenced, but joyfully crying out praise to the Prince of Peace, who lowers the mountains that the valleys might be filled. The foreign kings who have abandoned the pagan gods of their ancestors and give gifts to the true King of Kings, the true Prince of Peace. I mean, that's what Revelation 21:24 says. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. This hope, this glory, this beautiful ending began at Jesus' birth, began at this season. All that has been promised since the beginning and all we see at the end began at Jesus' beginning, began at this wonderful season. Because we also see in Jesus' birth the birth of the kingdom of God. Everything promised before rests here. And everything we look forward to in the end begins here. And so what's the point for you and me, for us here? Remember, from the beginning, God promised salvation to the world. He told Abraham he would bless the people of the world through him. He told Isaiah someone would come and be a light to Gentile nations, to the wrong people. What does that mean for us? You are here. You yourself are here because God was faithful to those promises. Do you realize that? You are in this place worshiping the King of Israel, the King of all creation, the King of the Jews, the Lord of the universe. You are here as a result of God's faithfulness to those promises since the beginning. This church exists as a result and a product of God's faithfulness to his people since the beginning. He made the wrong people the right people, and that is us. We represent people and families from all over the world. Probably none of us are Jewish. Probably none of us are physical descendants of Abraham, and yet here we are. We would not be here. This church would not be here. This season would not exist if God was not faithful to what he said thousands of years ago to Isaiah, 5,000 years ago to Abraham, and what he promised at the very beginning to Adam and Eve. This season is a result of those promises. Jesus' birth is the beginning of those promises being fulfilled. And so, if you wonder if God is faithful to his promises, if you wonder if God will be faithful to you, look around. Look in the mirror. The story of Christmas is the story of God's people coming out of exile, coming home to him. The story of Christmas is the culmination of the story of the whole world that God has been telling since the beginning. And so look around you. Look at who you're worshiping with. Look who you call brother and sister in the Lord. We are seeing God's redemptive story unfold before our very eyes in this church, in this moment, right now. I mean, that's what the promise was. He's come to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. And to every nation and people and tribe and tongue, this is happening right now in front of us. The story began in Genesis 3, culminates in Christ, but continues here and now with us. We are seeing Revelation 21, the promise of that, unfold here before our very eyes. Because our omnipotent King began as a vulnerable baby, but his reign will envelop the entire world. And we're part of it. We're part of the story. As you see, if God is faithful to this grand story that he's been telling from beginning to end, and if he is faithful to your place in it now, how much more will he be faithful over the tiny details of your life and the troubles of your life? What troubles you this holiday season? Are you busy and frustrated because of the holiday pressure, getting gifts, running around, all sorts of obligations? Maybe it's a lonely season for you. Maybe it's a bittersweet one because you've lost a loved one. Whatever troubles you, I want to graciously challenge you to see that if he is faithful over such a majestically monumental story as this, how much more will he be faithful to you and to your place in this story? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. You have been telling such a grand and beautiful story that we are now in the midst of. And we pray that you would open our eyes to see the glories of Christ and how he is at the center of this very story. And because of him, we are now welcomed into it. And he is in us. We are united to him. And you nourish us today through your word, through these songs, through these prayers. May this strengthen us to worship Christ, our newborn King.